There are significant performance optimizations that are available to applications that consume and process primarily analytical data. But unfortunately, the way that programs are designed today, they can't take advantage of the single input, multiple data operations that processors have been optimized to perform. But Apache Arrow is going to change all of that. We actually got Jack Nadeau on the phone to tell us more about Apache Arrow. So, what is Apache Arrow, and why is it so interesting and compelling, especially to people in the Hadoop community?
Well, I think the high level is that Arrow is going to introduce what I would consider to be the next generation of heterogeneous data infrastructure. That's just kind of a mouthful, but what I mean by that is that phase one to me was the introduction of things like shared storage and shared scheduling. And things like HDFS and Mesos and Yarn and whatnot, which is very helpful because you can run multiple workloads in the same hardware, on the same clusters. But moving between those different systems was not always the easiest thing to do. And so to me, Arrow is the next phase of that, which is basically having a common data and common memory layer for things, which allows you to basically move between systems with low to no cost.
So how does this differ from something like Apache Parquet, where we've got a column-based storage format that any project in the Hadoop ecosystem can use?
Well, so we had stuff on disk before, which is good, like Parquet, right? Like Julian, the guy sitting next to me here, right? Like got that to become, you know, what I would describe as the de facto standard for columnar on disk persistence, right? And so that adds a huge amount of value. But the next level is that I've got multiple systems who want to work with the same data in memory. How do we make sure that that's as efficient as possible and also provides the memory we have, which is scarce, as effectively as possible, right? And so what this is really being, hey, we're going to have different execution engines, different storage systems that are all be working with the same data. How do we make sure that they work with the same memory, and how do we make sure that they can move data between these different systems as part of the execution process as effectively as possible?
Now, if this is supposed to be multi-process communication of data in memory, I would imagine that both ends of the process, both processes that are participating in this, have to be able to understand the data format. So I'm assuming that if there's disparate types of processes, both of those will have to have something in them that makes it possible for them to share the data. So is that how it works? And for that matter, is that something that the people that might be on both sides of a given process would be interested in implementing in order to get the performance and usability gains?
One of the important dynamics in all of this is that when you're working on one of these new initiatives, you have to think about what's important to the people who are going to adopt this type of technology, right? And so the technology we're talking about here is a technology which is not designed to displace things that exist today, but rather to accelerate them and basically be embedded inside of them. And so, right, whether it's Impala or Drill or Kudu or Spark or Parquet, the goal is to have Arrow capabilities embedded into each of those technologies. And so the first key to this is basically making sure that Arrow is something that solves their internal needs. Okay? And by being a very fast in-memory representation, it does that. But then once they are using a shared internal representation, then they can actually move that data between the two systems. And so if we're talking about systems that are on the same, two different processes that are on the same exact computer, then we can actually use shared memory to do that. And so because it's a shared in-memory representation, both people understand memory in the same way. And then if we use the same memory, then they can both access it at the same time. And so you just don't have to worry about. So what if you contrast this to what happens today, is you have to take data and turn it into the internal representation of system A. And then when you want to move it to system B, you have to convert it to an intermediate representation that's in between A and B, and then convert it to the representation inside of B. So you effectively go through two steps of basically a serialization and a deserialization step, as well as potentially having to copy the data between the two systems. Okay? With an Arrow representation, system A has the Arrow representation in memory. System B wants the arrow representation in memory, so System A can say, hey, this is where I already have it in memory, and System B can just take advantage of that.
So it's almost like Apache Arrow becomes a common language that can be shared amongst different processes.
Yeah, that's mostly accurate. The language is probably not the best word there, but the concept is exactly right, which is basically is what we're doing is we're basically saying, hey, if everybody spoke, if everybody spoke English, right, then you would never have to go through any translations, right? And if you're already talking in English and someone walks by, then they can hear that and you don't have to do a special communication for them. That's a really bad analogy. But the basic concept, though, is that in the case of Arrow, if I'm using Arrow and you're using Arrow, then we can share that Arrow with no cost.
So let's take the scenario where we might have HBase and Apache Drill, and we want to be able to share data in memory between those two different systems. I'm guessing that that would require both the people who are on the project for Apache Drill and for HBase both to integrate Apache Arrow into their products.
So I'm going to separate that into two different answers. The first part is that if you use that specific example, like we want to use Arrow in the context of HBase and Drill, right? I think it's Drill. I don't remember exactly what you said. Arrow and Drill. In that situation, our goal is that we actually work with the Drill. HBase and Drill. In that situation, we want to work with the HBase community, which is why there's people who are involved with HBase are involved in Arrow, and the Drill community, and that's why there's people that are involved in Drill are involved in Arrow, so that they both speak it as a first-class internal language. Effectively. I'm using language again, which is not the right word, but as a first-class shared representation of data. Okay? And so the goal is that if you are a consumer of Drill or HBase, you don't have to do anything to take advantage of Arrow because the systems themselves will be built to take advantage of it. Okay? Now, if you are building something on top of one of these systems, let's say you wanted to build a custom set of machine learning applications, right? And you want to be able to get access to the data very, very efficiently. What you would do is adopt Arrow as your in-memory representation using the libraries, and then you can access any system that speaks Arrow directly at very high efficiency.
Quite often when we see systems arise that do an interchange of data or an interchange between systems, we end up seeing a run towards the lowest common denominator, and as a result, sometimes data or information gets lost or a certain piece of information aren't allowed to make it through the exchange. When you're designing Apache Arrow, how do you design it in such a way that you don't have this problem with the lowest common denominator of data exchange and that you can provide as rich an integration of data and information as possible?
I think you're absolutely right about that, which is that systems that start by thinking about interchange generally have to come up with sort of like the lowest common denominator or something. And that will create a situation where each system doesn't really map up very well against the representation. What's very different about Arrow is its foundation, where it came from. And so Arrow's initial sort of primary first goal is the ability to make each system independently faster. Okay? That is the primary benefit to people using Arrow in the execution environment, whether that's a processing engine or machine learning or a SQL engine or something like that. Okay? And because of that, right, then if people decide to use Arrow as their internal processing, then they also get the secondary benefit of interchange. But you can't start with interchange because then interchange, you optimize for the wrong things, right? And so the goal is that people, we don't want everybody to have to translate to a common language. We want everybody to adopt the common language. Going back to your sort of the other basis of your question, so there's two parts to your question, right? One is this when you come up with a shared approach, does that mean it's a bunch of compromises and not very strong? And I would say that no, that's not the case in this case because we focused first on the execution and the processing, and made sure that those were satisfied before we focused on how do we solve interchange with this, right? And so I think that we solved that. In terms of like where does this solve a problem and where doesn't this solve a problem? This is definitely focused on, say, analytical workloads, right? And so if you're only working with operational workloads, then Arrow is probably not going to help you. And in fact, it could be more complicated for you, right? And so, for example, that's why, generally speaking, you think about sort of analytical storage as different than operational storage. You know, like you want row level, you know, want transactions and record level updates and those kinds of things, then a columnar representation on disk is also not as good as a row-wise representation on disk. And so columnar is very beneficial in the case of analytical workloads, but if you're talking about sort of more row-wise or operational workloads, then it's expensive to maintain for not much benefit.
So how do you define operational workloads?
Yeah. So, I mean, when I say operational workloads, I'm like the classic one is the bank transfer, right? Like it's the domain of the traditional relational technologies, right? And so in a bank transfer, you know, you need the transactional knowledge that the person coming from the from account and the to account all maintain transactional consistency so the money doesn't fall on the floor or something breaks in the middle, right? And so you're interested in updating a very small amount of records and maintaining a very sort of rigid concept around transactionality, right? Whereas when I say analytical workloads, I'm saying I want to analyze how much sales there were in the last quarter, or I want to do a machine learning set of machine learning operations to figure out, you know, what customers buy when they're sad, or whatever that case may be, right? And so, I don't know, Julian, do you have any sort of good set of analogies in terms of what we mean by operational versus analytical?
Well, in analytical, one way you can look at it is often you have a data set with a lot of columns, and you really want to analyze, you're typically looking only at a few columns, or like a subset of them only, and you're not looking at all the rows either. So columnar formats also help with, so if you're looking only at, like working with the data you're interested in, right? So it's about doing a transformation on the data or like extracting the parts you're interested in and being very efficient at producing a result based on that data. And I guess you were asking about when is row-oriented better? And row-oriented is like if you're moving data around and you want to keep everything of your data, or you're not really doing processing on it, right? You're not.
Yeah.
It's like it's just simpler because in cases where you know, in the end, it needs to be row oriented.
The simplest way to think about it, is that in the case of analytical, when I say analytical, I typically mean you're working with lots of records at the same time. And when I say operational, I mean that you're working typically with very few records at the same time, maybe even one record at a time. Okay. And so, like, if I am trying to understand what the user behavior is on a website, right, I'm analyzing that. I'm interacting with all this information about all these different users and what they did all the times they clicked, right? But if I'm trying to, you know, return the right icon on the website that shows a particular user's, avatar, right, that's an operational workload because I'm looking up that user and I'm finding what their icon is, right? So operational workloads are typically about interacting with many separate interactions that are all interacting with a small number of records, whereas analytical is typically interacting with a large number of records all at once.
And so wrapping up, how would you summarize the core message that you want to put out to the enterprise programming community? And finally, how do developers get involved and how can they learn more about Apache Arrow?
Yeah, the core thing, and what's so exciting about this is that this is really a coming together, a consensus on something from a huge group of key technologies, right? And I think that shows both the need for this and the fact that Arrow is going to be around and have a huge impact on a lot of different things over the next few years, and that's really exciting to be involved in. The people that are involved, like just great people across the board from a number of different vendors, but a number of different open source technologies, and I think that's an amazing thing. And I think that, you know, for most people, the best thing to do is if you're working, if you're using big data technologies, then follow along with Arrow and see as when that's being when Arrow is starting to show up in your big data technology, if you think it's going to provide use to your big data technology, then approach. So there's a bunch of big data technologies that are involved today. But if your data technology isn't already involved in Arrow, then they're more than welcome to join the team. And whether that's a commercial or open source technology, doesn't matter. So you expect to see that soon. And if you're someone who wants to integrate it into your technology, then just hop on the mailing list or download the code and start playing with it.